Representative Paul Tonko is a Democrat of New York's 20th District. He's been in office since 2009, and he is a very good friend to this program. And we thank you so much, Paul, for always showing up.
Always a pleasure to join you and WAMC.
You're sort of like omnipresent. You can't turn the television on. You can't read the newspaper. You can't. Your staff does. They must schedule you to death.
Well, close to it, we hope. You know, they're very good at making certain that we
you're everywhere.
Do the outreach. Well, and I think that's the way it ought to be, right? Representative democracy. So,
well, you're everywhere.
So you want to hear from the street what's happening. So.
And you're very dignified, too. That's the other thing about you that I've never liked. You're a fairly dignified fellow. You know, you wear the right suits. You have the right congressional pin on. Your tie your brownish tie goes with your gray suit and your checkered shirt extremely well. Do you think about
you're setting the table really well?
Do you think about all of this in terms of how people perceive you?
No, I hope they just perceive me to be an individual who cares deeply, and carry myself with integrity.
You do. I talk to them all, you know, and I have to say, you're always very impressive with your approach to how important all of what you do is. So now, President Trump has a declaration of an emergency on the southern border. It now looks like it's going down in the Senate.
Right.
But, of course, he'll veto the thing. You guys will come back. Would you have the votes in the House? In the House. Forget about the Senate, which doesn't have them. Would you have the votes in the House to override a veto?
It's hard to say. I think that, our resolution vote was bipartisan. I believe we had 13 Republicans that joined with every Democrat that voted for the resolution. And I think public sentiment is growing every day. That we ought not mess with the Constitution. And I think that, there's been concern since 9/11 that the legislative branch, Congress, passed over a lot of its authority and power to the executive branch, to the president. And while people understood it in that emotional moment where everyone was concerned about the attacks on America and on our freedoms, required perhaps some adjusting. But now people are very concerned because there was, by the work done by our founding parents, an effort to construct a situation where there was a set of checks and balances, accountability that the legislative branch would impose onto the executive branch. And I think that's very important. And it's showing itself here where we think the president has overplayed his hand. I mean, every time you disagree with Congress shouldn't mean that you're going to declare an emergency.
Especially when you say you didn't even need to.
Exactly. He stated in that very same presentation when he talked about the emergency declaration that he really didn't need to. So I think he set himself up for defeat if it goes to the courts.
The courts may handle it, but it's not going to be a question of the Congress overriding.
Well, it's hard to say. I think, the override is a difficult thing. But I think the statement made in a bicameral, bipartisan way is that a great majority of people, representatives speaking for the people, indicates that he overstepped and that, if you're to do this, it could be so precedent-setting.
Sure. It's funny for you as a Democrat to make that argument because they're arguing that the Democrats will be irresponsible. The Republicans who want to vote against it are arguing that you'll be the irresponsible ones. So you become the boogeyman.
Well, I do think that there should be a dividing line amongst the three branches of government. The judiciary, legislative, and executive branches need to have, the powers that are put into play for those various branches ought to be maintained because of the concern for accountability.
Okay, now Mitch McConnell says, he's going to take his time. And some surprising things have happened. Elise Stefanik, for example, has voted against the president a couple of times now, including this time. So do you expect it? What do you think that signifies?
I think it indicates that the president doesn't have the support he did have in his first 2 years. I really believe it was a bobblehead approach where there were people who believed what he did was wrong in the first 2 years, but there was just a turning away from, you know, turning your back to a situation that should have been spoken to.
What's the bobblehead side of this?
Just thoughtless nodding ahead and allowing him to go forward with what I think are very harmful measures. And I think that now, you know, as we go forward, there's going to be more pressure with the Democratic majority in the House providing that accountability, which then punts the ball into the court of the Senate, where they have 18 days after our vote by which they have to respond. So it's put pressure on their body, and now they have to take a stand. They're forced to take a stand on whether his efforts here are in keeping or not keeping with the Constitution.
Well, do you think McConnell gives a damn?
Well, I think he'd prefer not to have this vote, but I think more and more pressure is building against him. When you have senators declaring weeks in advance that they're not going to be there for this vote in the yes column, you know, you have, I think, already three senators from the Republican column that are not going to vote with the majority.
I've got 3 minutes here. I want to talk very quickly about the Michael Cohen testimony.
Right.
What did you come away with?
I think that certainly there's reason for further investigation. You know, I think the Oversight Committee and the Intelligence Committees both took somewhat of a buyer beware approach, but at the same time, a lot of need to perhaps bring in more people and cross-examine them because there were strong statements made about fraudulent behavior, tax evasion, WikiLeaks information, advanced information that about the hacking of various emails and records out there. I think that it warrants a more broad and deep review of people connected either to the president through work or the campaign or through the Trump Foundation.
And so very quickly, we only have a minute now. There are those people who thought that the president's performance, hugging the American flag and the ramblings that he did before CPAC for over 2 hours, indicates somebody who's unhinged. Does this give you...
Yeah, I think a lot of people thought it was a rather interesting approach, and they somewhat questioned...
But if he's unhinged, this is the guy with his finger on the button.
Yeah, a big concern, you know, and I think that, again, we're going to see a number of days coming forward in the month of March that are going to be intense for this administration. But the scrutiny that's provided, again, by a balance of power, by, you know, equal status, executive to legislative, will drill down on these accusations to see if there's any merit to them, but we owe that to the public. And the People's House, with this new majority, will do their thing through oversight as a committee and intelligence as a committee.
I love talking to the somewhat somber Paul Tonko, extraordinarily well-dressed and a great guy. We'll be back the next time, Paul, and we'll proceed along all of this.
Thank you.